The State Capitol Report is not taking the Memorial Day holiday off, and neither is our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, at least not all of it. We will get him on the line from his holiday weekend destination, and he'll get us up to date on the latest state budget news from the state capitol. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 27th. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee is approving budget items right and left these days, but not everything. We will find out what's in and what's out of the proposed state budget so far in the process, and we'll welcome any questions you have at 1-800-642-1234. Or reactions. You can also email us, talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us from your undisclosed vacation location.
Yeah, you bet. Somewhere in a bunker in Illinois.
Yeah, there we go. Well, you have been very busy at the state capitol, so has the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Let's talk about the UW budget first. Joint Finance approved a UW budget that freezes tuition, but also cuts money from the UW budget. It used to be that the UW was going to get an increase, I thought.
Yeah, when the governor proposed his budget, he had an overall increase of $181 million going to the UW. I think it really depends on how you cut these numbers here, but I think you could say that the UW got a cut in state funding of about $160 million, compared to what was introduced before. And really, no matter how you look at the numbers, there is a cut in state funding to the university system in this go-round. And that's in a biennium, where we're seeing economic growth and tax revenue growth in Wisconsin. So this is due to a memo that came out a few weeks ago showing that the University of Wisconsin had financial reserves of, about $640 million-plus that it had accumulated in accounts throughout the system. About $400 million of that came from tuition, and you had several legislators on the Joint Finance Committee say that they felt like they had been misled in the last budget when they were told that the university was going to have to make deep cuts if they didn't see more state funding and if they didn't raise tuition. And so you heard that refrain over and over again in the Joint Finance Committee this past week, including from Republican Senator Luther Olson of Ripon.
When you were coming to us, and we had to make some cuts in the last two budgets, GPR, we know that, you were raising tuition 5.5% on your students, at the same time telling us you couldn't keep your good professors and staff because you couldn't pay them enough, and they were going to other states, and at the same time you had increasing fund balances. If you knew that, shame on you. But I almost think you didn't know it, which means you're incompetent.
Wow.
And I mean, I could have really taken my pick of audio from these legislators going after the UW. I'd say Luther Olson was maybe one of the more tempered.
Yeah.
So you had calls for a change in leadership at the university. And this motion passed on a 14-2 vote, which means even though Republicans control that committee, it got two Democrats to support it, Senator Jen Schilling of La Crosse and Kenosha Senator Robert Wirch. There was bipartisan support for this plan, which would freeze tuition for the next couple of years, but also, along with it, take away that autonomy that the University of Wisconsin system had wanted to set its own salaries. Money for salaries basically got shifted over to a pot controlled by the state, and the state's going to handle it like it has in the past. And then also, there's all these programs. Looking at the cut is only really part of it, because if there are all these programs that the governor set aside in his budget that he wanted the UW to do, money for incentive grants to encourage economic development, that's still there. I mean, the program's still there, and so this new program, instead of being paid for by the state, it's going to be paid for by the University of Wisconsin system. Same thing with these higher education grants, these financial aid grants. Instead of $60 million in state money going for those, the university is going to have to pay $60 million out of its funding somewhere. And so it's a pretty hard budget for them at this point.
Yeah. On the Week in Review on Friday, Sean, between 8 and 9 here on this show, we had a call from somebody who was with the United Council group, very concerned about a change in how this group is funded that he says was really going to hurt this student organization. What happened?
Yeah, this is something that was sucked into the package that got the 14-2 vote. And, you know, it's real short. I'll just read you the line here. It specifies that the Board of Regents may provide students with the opportunity to pay an additional fee to support inter-institutional student government organizations, but may not require students to pay such fees, whether or not they're refundable. And so if you dig into the details of that, there is one organization that fits that billing, and that is the UW Students Group United Council. This is the student where, if you've been to any of the Joint Finance Committee public hearings, they've shown up in pretty sizable numbers in shirts that say, support the UW. And so they were there to watch this vote last week, and once they saw the final product that was about to pass, even though it had that tuition freeze in there, there's some pretty long faces on those students. I spoke with Dylan Jambrick afterward, and he's the Government Relations Director for United Council.
This was a complete surprise to us. We have sat in every office of the members of Joint Committee on Finance. Students have been every Joint Committee on Finance hearings, and not once did they discuss this with us. And at every turn, we have always said, we are here with United Council of UW students. It's a complete disrespect to an organization that's been here since 1960 representing students to never even bring this up as a policy matter and then sneak it in on the last day of the higher education budget.
Yeah, so essentially the legislature is saying that student fees don't have to go to this group, and this group lobbies for student issues. Is that right?
Yeah, my understanding of the way it works right now is that you have referenda on campuses to decide whether students want to form a United Council group. And if they do, then they are charged a $3 refundable fee. So they can ask to have it back, and United Council will give them their money back. In the future, it would remove that system, and I'm not sure exactly how United Council would get its membership other than they would have to pursue students individually and say, would you join? So it's not that they would have to disappear, but it's going to be a lot harder for them to have a funding model.
Okay, in other news, are we going to see, I don't know, UW dormitories, the state capitol, put up for sale, Sean?
Well, we know that we, under the provision that passed the Joint Finance Committee, that, none of that is for sale right now, but it was written so broadly that is a possibility. This is something it's a proposal that's been around for a long time. I mean, many sessions past, Republicans have talked about it, about the possibility of selling Wisconsin's power plants because we have state-owned heating and power plants. And there have been some Republicans who said Wisconsin shouldn't be in the power plant business. You actually saw this was part of the controversial fight over Act 10. The governor tucked it into that budget repair bill, the authority for the state to sell its power plants, and at the time it was controversial enough that they took it out of the Act 10 legislation. It got put back into this budget, and the Fiscal Bureau has said, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau has said, that the language is written broadly enough that There was nothing that would prevent the state from selling prisons, roads, dormitories. And upon questioning at the hearing last week, there's nothing that would prevent the state from selling the Capitol. What I can tell you, though, is that the lawmakers changed this provision to require a few things, among them a cost-benefit analysis anytime you're going to sell state property, and also approval of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, so it wouldn't just be a governor's office deciding when to sell things. And that's the piece that Republican lawmakers who voted for this highlighted, including Senator Alberta Darling, who co-chairs the Budget Committee and really emphasized its role in this process.
There's not a chance that this committee would sell the Capitol. I mean, let's get real. Who would sit on this committee and make a decision that's not in the best interest of the state? And who on this committee would approve a sale if it hadn't been transparent and hadn't been competitive?
But why sell these state facilities or state properties to begin with, Sean?
I haven't seen a memo out there that says that this is a great deal for the state. And I suppose as these proposed sales come forward in the future, they'll have to draft some type of a cost-benefit analysis, and we'll see if it would be a good business for the state.
Mm-hmm.
The con to selling state property, the pro is you get some money up front. The con is if it's a state power plant and, you had something you owned, so, and now all of a sudden you still have to get your power, so you're paying somewhere else for power that you used to produce yourself. So Democrats were the only ones to vote against this in committee. John Richards of Milwaukee did not feel any better about the fact that this would have to go through the Joint Finance Committee first.
The scope of this is breathtaking. It is huge. And as we go down the field, under your proposal, the only goalie is this committee. I don't take a lot of comfort in that, to be honest with you. And it's very possible for someone to come up and say, yes, state of Wisconsin, I know you're in a jam. I can help you with that jam by buying all your dormitories, and here's a wad of cash.
And, that is sort of a short version of what's happened in other states when they have sold state property. It hasn't happened during good times. It happens during a downturn. You got a budget hole to fill, and look at all this stuff we have that we can fill it with.
Yeah.
It's happened in Illinois, happened in Arizona. It's not unheard of.
We will continue talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest budget news from the state capitol as our state capitol report continues. And we'll welcome your input if you have a question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. Quick check of our weather for today, this Memorial Day. It's going to be a cloudy, rainy Memorial Day, possibly a thunderstorm in southwestern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the upper 60s, but cooler near the Great Lakes. Coming up on our State Capitol Report, we will welcome in Democratic State Representative Fred Kessler of Milwaukee, talking with him some about a bill that he co-authored that would limit the use of drones in Wisconsin. That's coming up after 7:30. Right now, we're talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. And there is another criminal justice-related issue that passed last week, Sean, in the Joint Finance Committee. I believe it passed anyway. This one would allow the state to collect DNA at the time of arrest for alleged felonies?
Yeah, and it's not exactly what the governor wanted. The governor wanted to, the governor and the Attorney General's office in Wisconsin wanted to collect DNA at the time of arrest for a lot more crimes, not only felonies, but for misdemeanors. The Finance Committee curtailed that a bit and would allow collection at the time of arrest for felonies only. So it's not quite as sweeping as as what the governor wanted. But it is a change in Wisconsin, although it's not a change. I mean, it's not new, you know, compared to what other states are doing. There are more than a couple dozen states now that have collection of DNA at the time of arrest. You know, so before you've been convicted of a crime, police can still collect your DNA. And so this is a subject right now of a U.S. Supreme Court case where it's based out of a case in Maryland where a man brought suit against the state. And so we'll take a break here from hearing from Wisconsin lawmakers for a moment, hear from a couple Supreme Court justices during that case. And the first is going to be Justice Antonin Scalia. And during oral arguments on this case in February, the Maryland Deputy Attorney General was going through the list of statistics and how this plan had helped find criminals that they wouldn't have found otherwise. And Justice Scalia abruptly cut her off.
Well, that's really good. I'll bet you if you conducted a lot of unreasonable searches and seizures, you'd get more convictions, too. That proves absolutely nothing.
I was not impressed.
No. So it's always dangerous to try to guess exactly where justices are going to land based on what they say in oral arguments. But Justice Scalia seems to be telegraphing some serious concerns he has with whether this laws like this violate the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Another viewpoint expressed during those arguments came from Justice Samuel Alito, who struck a different tone.
Why isn't this the fingerprinting of the 21st century? What is the difference? If it was permissible and it's been assumed to be so for decades, that it is permissible to fingerprint anybody who's booked, why is it not permissible to take a DNA sample from anybody who's arrested?
And briefly, Sean, I'm sorry, because we're running so short on time, just about less than 5 minutes to go. The Joint Finance rejected the governor's plan to use GPS tracking for people who have restraining orders against them?
Restraining orders for domestic abuse. This is something that the governor had highlighted to deal with some of the issues that we saw in Wisconsin, including that, I think this was related to that spa shooting. But the Finance Committee said, how are we going to know? They're just unconvinced that this would work. You know, even if you could track somebody, how would police get to the spot where he is in order to prevent him from doing something again?
The other thing that was rejected by the Joint Finance Committee, or at least pulled out of the budget apparently, is the governor's proposal to deregulate the rent-to-own industry. What happened there?
This is one of the kind of big mysteries of the budget. What was going to happen with this? This rent-to-own proposal, and it comes back pretty much every session. The industry supports a plan that would in some way exempt them from Wisconsin's Consumer Act. And so there's nothing that prevents rent-to-own from being in Wisconsin right now, but the way they're regulated, they have to tell customers about the interest rates they pay if they rent something until they buy it. And because those interest rates can run into the hundreds, the industry, by and large, just chooses not to be here. The governor's plan would have exempted him from that, but on a 10-6 to vote with really no debates, the Joint Finance Committee took it out. And so Senator Glenn Grossman, really the outspoken opponent of this plan, has defeated it again, I think you could say. He found enough Republican lawmakers to go with him on the Finance Committee, and all Democrats joined on as well.
And the Joint Finance Committee approved a plan to require part-time work or job training for people in order to receive food stamps. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is going to spend some new state money to create a program for this job training. But in the process, it is going to restrict, or it's going to reduce the number of people who receive them. Democrat Corey Mason laid out the numbers when he was speaking against it in committee.
This isn't state money for the food stamps. It's a federally funded program. We're going to turn that away for about 30,000 people. But then to implement this program, to make sure we're kicking people off the program, to the program you want to set up, we're going to spend $16 million in state funds. So not only are we going to turn away $72 million in federal funds to feed poor people, we're going to spend $16 million to make sure we're doing that.
Yeah, so why are they going to do that, Sean?
Well, I mean, food stamps have gotten a lot of attention from Republicans of late at the national level and at the state level, and the numbers that Representative Mason lays out there are basically accurate. The only thing I'd add is that the $16 million grows to about $22 million a year once this is, a program is implemented that's going to cost state government to run. Republicans didn't distance themselves from those numbers. They actually sort of embraced them. Dean Knutson is a Republican from Hudson who supported this.
Nobody wants to take away food from someone who's poor or hungry. That's not what this is about. It's not about taking away the fish. It's about teaching someone to fish. It's a training program. We're putting in state dollars because we recognize the value of work. And we're not doing this because we're going to save money for the state of Wisconsin. Quite the opposite. We're willing to put money into this program because we recognize the value of work.
Well, we have just a minute to go, Sean, so lots of things that Joint Finance did last week that we won't be able to go into any detail with, but do give us a preview of the week ahead. The Joint Finance Committee is going to take up the voucher program this week?
Yeah, that's going to be the biggie this week. School funding and vouchers, that's up on Wednesday. And so you have big questions that are still out there. How much of an increase in funding per pupil is the Finance Committee going to ask for? How much of an expansion of vouchers are they looking at? There's been pushback against the governor's plan to expand into 9 new districts using this new state test. Basically, what are they going to do there? And the governor seemed to indicate in brief comments to reporters he thought there'd be a deal announced before the committee met. So we'll see.
We will see, and we'll listen for your reports and talk to you next week. Thanks very much, Sean.
All right, thanks, Sean
Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, joining us from his vacation location in Illinois. We'll check news, and then our state capital report continues here on the Ideas Network.